Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Once again, in the pursuit of, what do they pursue over there? Better health care, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of that, is Dr. Jeffrey Copen, Northwestern over at Lake Forest. Hey, doctor, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
I'm good, Chad. I'm really good. Yes, we are working on better health care. It's a it's a goal that we will continually aspire to, obviously. But did you go to Lollapalooza?
I did not. I felt it because in our building here, we're close enough to Millennium Park that on Thursday, you know how like when a train goes by and you feel it in the floor? We were feeling the music in our floor and walls. It was whomp, whomp, whomp.
Yeah, you feel the earth move under your feet, right?
I felt the sky tumble in down. Did you go? You didn't
I
go.
I did not go. No, I've decided to forego Lollapalooza. I think I'm at that point. It's okay.
You know, it's funny because last year the big concern was, will there be an outbreak as a result? And the reporting on it was afterwards that there was not. That didn't seem to be a concern this year, which is interesting because 400,000 people outdoors, but in close proximity with Omicron out there. We haven't seen an uptick, have we?
No, you know, Jen, I remember last year being on WGN exactly talking about Lollapalooza. It was a topic of discussion for a couple of months after the announcement came out that Lollapalooza was going to happen. And would there be any kind of health ramifications? You probably recall that there was a motorcycle rally in South Dakota. Sturgis.
Yeah.
And there was all kinds of reporting about infections from there. So there was a lot of concern about Lollapalooza. There was some, but probably because it was outdoors, there wasn't a lot. And isn't it interesting, like you point out, it's not something that we've been talking about this year. And I think it speaks to just where the average person is at this stage of the pandemic, don't you think?
100%. I mean, if the dynamics are the same, our attitude is shifted. And maybe in a way for the better. Nobody is saying be unhealthy about it. But I think a lot of us are at the point where I've either had it or I've been vaccinated. And the version that I might get now is probably not going to hospitalize me. Which gets us to Joe Biden, if I may. So he had it. It went away briefly, or did it even go away? And then he tested positive again. He's testing positive again today. Do you suppose it's the same batch, or do you think he's got it and got it again?
Now, this is the same infection that you know we learned about last week. The president was given Paxlovid, which was 100% appropriate, like we talked about. He's approaching 80 years of age, and going on that antiviral medication was the right thing to do. There are people who get Paxlovid, do well, and then they have something called a rebound, and that's what the president has had. The virus has made a rebound in his body. So as we all recall, the president tested negative a couple of days in a row with the antigen test, and then suddenly, without any symptoms, he tested positive, and he continues to test positive. And Jen, I haven't heard the update yet. I assume the president is still asymptomatic today. Is that what they said?
I have not heard any otherwise. Pete whispered in my ear, he's now exhibited a cough.
Okay. So this is the same virus. The virus was held at bay both by the president's immune system and by the antiviral medication. Once the antiviral medication stopped and was metabolized out of his body, the virus was still there. His body had not yet cleared the virus, and the virus started to replicate again. And that's what he's experiencing right now. It's looking like this happens less than 5% of people who take Paxlovid. Everyone should recall Dr. Fauci actually had this happen to him. Dr. Fauci took Paxlovid. Dr. Fauci is 81 years old, did well, and then a couple days later, he too started to test positive again. Dr. Fauci, though, was asymptomatic the whole time. So the president now has a mild cough. Hopefully it will stay like that. So it's rebound of the same infection. This is not something new.
And if he was not exhibiting symptoms, then would we still say that the clock starts the first day of symptoms and 5 days out, even if you're still testing positive, but you don't seem to be affecting other people, that it would be okay to journey back out into the world?
So CDC guidance is after day five. And remember, the first day that somebody has symptoms, test positive, that's day zero. That's an important aspect of that. That's day zero. Then you count 5 days. Yeah. After the fifth day, if a person is asymptomatic, no fever, that person then can leave isolation. The recommendation is, though, to continue to wear a mask for five more days.
Yeah.
Should somebody test, and the guidance here, I think, is going to go through a bit of a change because the antigen test is now available very easily. Up until now, the guidance from CDC is you don't have to test at day five. Just wear a mask through day 10. We do know, though, that there are some people that after day five are still infectious. So perhaps the guidance should be changed. If people have the ability to test, they should test. And if they're still positive, either they should remain isolated or be very careful when they go out wearing a mask. So this is in a bit of flux right now, John.
Yeah, it sounds
where
like
that recommendation will be.
One last question for you after the break, Doctor, today, and that is there has been some linkage, well, you tell us, between a loss of smell, which many people have experienced, and taste, and Alzheimer's. Is it possible that COVID is going to exacerbate or make it more likely that somebody gets Alzheimer's? Dr. Jeffrey Copen from Northwestern, does loss of smell sort of predict Alzheimer's, and therefore does COVID maybe lead people down that path?
It's too early to say, John. And I caution our listeners, whenever you hear a report that will make an association between COVID infection and anything else, just be very, very careful before you jump to a conclusion that this is a hard and fast fact. So what's happened, and we see this a lot, there was a recent Alzheimer's conference. Actually, it was day before yesterday in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And there was preliminary research presented from Argentina that drew a possible connection between COVID-related smelling loss and Alzheimer's disease. So right away, it gets a ton of media attention, that study, around the world. It's preliminary data. The study has not been published. I don't think anybody has to worry about this right now. The other thing is we've known for many years that loss of smell could be a sign of developing Alzheimer's disease having nothing to do with COVID. To jump and associate the two things, loss of smell, first sign of dementia, versus COVID loss of smell leading to dementia, they really have nothing to do with one another. We're going to be learning a ton more about the neurological consequences of COVID going into the future. But please, nobody should jump to any conclusion. I don't want anyone to worry that you're going to get demented because you or one of your loved ones had a COVID infection.
We'll leave it there and talk next week with Dr. Jeffrey Copen. Sound words from you today, Doc. We appreciate you joining us.
All right, Chad. Everybody take care. Bye-bye.